Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve Dale, I am seeing a lot of people with dogs, I guess cats too. There was a story on the national news the other day, and they said that people are getting pets to comfort them through the anxiety they're going through. They want companionship because we're all being quarantined in our homes. And I thought that sounds to me like what happens when you give a kid a puppy at Christmas. It solves that problem. What am I going to get the kid that'll make him happy now? But does the kid really want to care for a dog for the rest of his life? And I don't know that that's necessarily the best reason to adopt a dog when you're going to be out by the 4th of July. What's your thought about that, Steve?
Well, I think it's the best medicine we can get, right? And, you know, it's just fascinating to me that as this whole thing began, people went like crazy to animal shelters. Now, part of that is because the animal shelter said, help, we don't have staff coming in, we don't have volunteers coming in, we need people to adopt these animals. Definitely, that's a portion of what went on here. But I wonder if something inside of us that we don't even understand, we don't even realize, we don't even think about, said, you know what? I've had animals in the past. I know how good, or maybe I have them now, and I know how good they make me feel. And who doesn't want to feel better in a time of stress? If you're not feeling well, yeah, you do want to feel better. Yeah. So I wonder if there's something almost hardwired inside us to say that this is the best medicine we can take, and we don't even need a prescription. You don't have to worry about health insurance. This is something that we know, and science has shown, incidentally, over and over and over. I could talk, you don't probably want me to do so, for hours about how we know pets are good for us. It's not something I'm just rattling off because I'm a pet guy. We know that's the case. So I wonder if something inside of us suggests that. Now, there's good news and bad news, though, regarding the shelters and all these adoptions. So the good news is that in Chicago, and Chicago's not alone, as you said, this is a national story, in a lot of major urban areas, it is a record number of adoptions. The shelters are virtually empty, though that is changing. The animals are beginning to come back, and I can talk about that in a second as to why that's happening. But the good news is that they're more empty than they've ever been. Animal Care and Control likely at this moment has fewer dogs. Yes, there are dogs available, cats available for adoption, but fewer than they've had in decades and decades and decades, longer than anyone can remember. So, of course, that in of itself is good news. So you're taking these puppies out, oftentimes they're adult dogs, but sometimes puppies, mm-hmm, or maybe purchasing from a breeder and getting a puppy. Now what? How do you socialize a dog when you can't be social? And that's a real concern of people like myself who understand that a lot of the behavior problems we see in 2 or 3 or 4 year old dogs occurs because they weren't socialized when they were puppies.
Well, I also see this, Steve.
That's a problem.
And I see people walking their dogs, maybe because they're new and they're learning the world, or maybe they just had the dogs for a while. But you know how when you come to a corner and the two dogs check each other out, now you're visiting. And I think some people are very uncomfortable with that situation. I'm uncomfortable watching these random encounters happen. And you don't want to be rude, but you're like, I'm sorry, my dog's not going to sniff your dog right now. And I'm not going to sniff you either. We can't be this close together. So you kind of have to manage your pet's movement more right now.
You do and you don't. Now, you said you're not going to sniff. You sniff your neighbors, John?
Every now and then, just a little bit.
Yeah, I thought so. I heard about that. Dogs are not likely to get the coronavirus. It has happened. I can count the number of positives, at least the ones we know about, on one hand around the world. So it is very unlikely that that's the case. If that is the case, dogs, it seems, do not give it to other dogs. So that is not a worry for me. And it, in fact, is a good thing if you are socially distancing yourself. That's the thing.
Well, that's the problem.
Have to social. Well,
that's the problem.
You know, so my wife has figured out a way to walk dogs with friends of hers who live near us. And the average dog leash is 6 feet. So right there, you've got 6 feet. And if you add a couple feet to it, you know, the person's walking their dog, they're 6 feet apart, the next person back there, they're having a conversation with one another, kind of, they're kind of talking really loud so they can hear each other. But I think it's certainly possible to do. But you're right, the concern is about the humans being close to one another more than the dogs. I'm not worried about the dogs being close to one another. And in fact, for little puppies, it's a good thing. And for all dogs, it's a good thing if they're social dogs to encounter other dogs. They're not going to get sick.
Give me three tips for somebody who has a new dog. It's either a puppy or it's an adult that they've adopted. But what are three things you should do or not do when you bring your dog home?
Well, for a puppy, socialize, socialize, socialize. For any dog, you want to make sure that dog is house trained, right? So begin the process of house training, which can go really fast if you adopt from a rescue or shelter, and it's a dog presumably already house trained. But in a shelter, sometimes they, quote, lose house training. They are forced sometimes to have accidents, if you will. So reminding them about the house training may only take a day, but nevertheless, understand that's the case so they don't have accidents just because it's not good for you. And don't leave them home alone without knowing, for sure, not a puppy. I am a huge fan of crate training because puppies get into trouble being left home alone and can hurt themselves. But above and beyond that, you don't know how that dog is going to be home alone necessarily. So leave the dog home alone for short periods of time. I love the idea of having cameras that are now inexpensive. You can see what's going on in your house when the dogs are ordering pizza and you're not there on your phone. So that's a good thing. They may not be ordering pizza. They may be ripping up the pillows, and knowing how your dog can deal or not deal with being left home alone, I think is important as well.
The what's the key to paper training, or what do you call it?
House training.
House training, you know, where the dog doesn't go on the paper. You want him to go outside. What's the key to that?
Yeah, you don't even need paper. It's an extra step, in my opinion. Take your dog out. If it's a little puppy, it's quite predictable. When the puppy gets up from a nap, and they take a lot of those, after the puppy runs around, even if the puppy has just gone potty, after the puppy eats, after the puppy drinks, I can assure you, or your money back, that pup's got to go. So at that point, take your pup on a leash. Don't just let the puppy run around the yard. You need to be out there with the dog, presumably. Find a toilet. Take the dog to the same place all the time. So if it becomes a toilet, pace back and forth a little. That's a little secret that helps dogs to go. The movement does a little bit. Reward the dog with an amazing treat only used for that purpose. Do it instantaneously, not 5 minutes later. We now know from a recent study that touch is actually hugely reinforcing. So pet the dog and absolutely tell the dog what a beautiful job he or she did. If the dog doesn't go after about 5 or 10 minutes back in the house, tether the dog to you or put a leash on the dog so the dog can't go in a corner because you've got a loaded weapon there. The dog's got to go. Go back outside after 5 or 10 minutes. The good news, by the way, about being home all the time is we have more time to house train our dogs more effectively than ever before. What I'm concerned about is the number of dogs now that shelters are gradually, depending on the part of the country we're talking about, beginning to see more and more of, because people can't afford necessarily to keep their pets.
I got 60 seconds left. Last you and I spoke, we talked about dogs being trained to smell the coronavirus. Is that still happening?
Oh, yeah. So my friend, I know her well, Dr. Cindy Otto, at Penn Vet, can't even talk to me because she's so busy doing this. And she's received national media because, yes, it is no surprise. Dogs can do this. And I think ultimately, and in the UK, they're also training dogs to do this. I think ultimately we may see dogs at airports, international, you know, when you get off the airplane, there's a dog sniffing to determine if you have COVID-19.
Steve Dale's Pet World, Sunday mornings from 5:30 to 6. Podcast as well, if you're not up at that hour, but you should be. And And then, you know, just continue listening to GN throughout the day. Sinatra music afterwards. Good music to train your dog by. All right, Steve.
I think so.
Thanks for your time, and we'll listen for you Sunday morning, okay?
I always do it my way. Thank you, sir.
Well put.